And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 188, and we're coming at you, as always, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm your host. And here it is, spring, sort of. Yeah, we started out last week. You have some beautiful weather, and you know, flowers are starting to come up, and yeah, it's got a nice and warm, a nice feel of the air, you know, and that's kind of thing. And today it's snowing. Yeah, looks like we're going to get about 1 to 3 inches of snow. And that's got to be exciting. Well, now, I'm not expecting the snow to last. And I think that the weather report for the next few days is showing that we're going to be having some temperatures in the 40s this week, and the snow is probably, I'm going to guess, even if we get like 1 to 3 inches of snow, it is not going to last till Friday. I think it's going to be, maybe even by the time the show airs, that snow is pretty much all going to be gone. I don't even think they're bothering plowing the streets because the streets are not even, they're not even covered in snow. I mean, it hasn't even stuck as far as the streets go. So got a little last gasp of the Fimbulwinter here in Chicago. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I had to talk about here at the top of the show. Not a whole lot going on. Now, if anybody in the show is going to C2E2 here in Chicago, let me know. Pete and I are going to be there. We're going to be there Sunday, which is, it's not the busiest day. I mean, it's still fairly busy there, but we've decided to kind of take the short day Sunday. I'm not exhibiting this year, obviously. Otherwise, you would have heard about that. And just going to take this opportunity to just kind of chill and kind of window shop and probably not buy anything. And I'm hoping to actually meet Stan Lee here at C2E2 this year. Because, you don't know how many more years you have. I mean, he's, 90 years old, 92 or whatever he's 90? Yeah. And I'm hoping to have Stan Lee sign a book for me. So we'll see. We'll see what goes on. But anybody who is going to be there at C2E2, let me know. And, maybe we can have a Radio Free Asgard meetup. That'd be fun, especially if you're there Sunday. So anyway. So, we do have a issue of Hercules, Prince of Power to cover, so let's just go ahead and get right to it, shall we?
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory, fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men, Hercules. People are safe when near him, Hercules. Only the evil fear him. Softness in his eyes, iron in his thighs, virtue in his heart, fire in every part of the mighty Hercules.
And indeed, we are covering Hercules, Prince of Power, number 4. As a cover date of December 1982, retailed for 60 cents. Cover art is by Bob Layton. Shows Hercules being blasted by the I-beams of none other than Galactus. Yeah, we knew Galactus was coming last issue. And he's wearing a kind of a different costume than what he's had before. This is rather skimpy. It's like very short and revealing of a kind of toga thing that Hercules is wearing in bright blue. And he's being blasted by Galactus's I-beams, and it looks like either Galactus's I-beams are spooging on Hercules or turning him into goop or something like that. I imagine we're going to find out more as we delve into the issue. Opening up to the splash page, and we have a scene here of the recorder. Now, the recorder is kind of trussed up in all this Kirby machinery, very much in the Jack Kirby kind of style, being held captive, apparently, by the Regellian, the colonizers. So it looks like they've gotten him back, and they're draining out his knowledge or whatever. He's attached to this machine by his fingers, and it looks like they've replaced the legs that were blown off last issue and the hand. And so basically they're extracting the data, I suppose, from the recorder. And we get a little bit of narration here. These are the colonizers of Rigel, extraterrestrial pioneers who explore the galaxies in search of new planets to settle, new information to add to their massive databanks. One of their most important tools in the acquisition of knowledge is the robot probes called recorders. One of those units has just returned from a fact-finding mission to reveal what is learned to his masters.
Repairs on recorder number 417 are complete. You may continue your narrative to the master computer number 417.
Narrative, recorder number 417, log entry on the activities of the god being known as Hercules, Prince of Power. As stated in my first entry, Hercules was exiled from Olympus by his father Zeus for some violation I do not quite comprehend. It had something to do with the fairer sex, he stated. His punishment was to roam the galaxies until he learned the lesson of humility. His story so intrigued our leader that he assigned me to record his exploits. One of those exploits took us to the Omicron system, where we encountered the Brotherhood, an ancient group of religious zealots who sacrificed entire planets to their god. A fierce and desperate battle ensued that culminated in the fanatics committing mass suicide after the Olympian foiled their plans to appease their deity. To show their gratitude for saving their planet from the fanatics, the inhabitants of Seagram 7 held a celebration to honor us, though Hercules needs very little cause to celebrate. What we did not know at the time was that the being that the Brotherhood worshipped was the world-devouring Galactus. We have countless records of him in our recorder data files, of the innumerable planets he has stripped bare of life in order to sustain his own existence. But this account is not just another Galactus story. And after that little framing sequence, during the framing sequence, we kind of see what little scenes from what has gone on before. So we see Hercules in the chariot, and we see him trussed up by the Brotherhood, and the world ships exploding by Seagram 7, and Hercules flying away. And on this page, we kind of get the little splash here, and we get the credits. Bob Layton was the writer and artist. Rick Parker was the letterer and artist. Christy Scheel was the colorist and artist. Mark Grunewald was the editor and artist. Jim Shooter was the editor-in-chief and con artist. And it says a special thanks to Sam De La Rosa for his embellishing assist. And we see Hercules and the recorder, and they are on the planet of Seagram 7. And this is apparently a planet inhabited entirely by snails. At least they're kind of like snails. They're kind of crossed between frogs and snails and so if you think of distilled beverages, the first thing you think of is snails, right? And we get a little bit more narration here. Seagram 7, also known as the Distiller's Planet, is galactically renowned for the many exotic potions and brews that its diminutive inhabitants manufacture. If Hercules sought to celebrate, it was definitely an apt place to do it. And Hercules is greeted by the head snail, I guess it were.
Welcome, Hercules. I am Peel, Magistrate of Seagram 7.
Verily, my heart is warmed by thy brilliant reception.
Well, believe me, there's a lot more to come. We've prepared a feast in your honor.
Nothing is too good for the being who saved our planet from certain doom.
Yeah, and we're not even angry about your horses eating two of our dock workers at the spaceport.
Sorry about that, says Hercules. Let's be off then, shall we?
And they go off, and we see a scene here. Hercules is in, again, it looks a lot like the barrooms and things that we've seen already in the series. But in this case, there's a bunch of chairs, and there's a bunch of these snails kind of laying around, and they're all drinking, and it looks like they've all got like a cocktail in their hand, and there's people carrying, looks like menus. And anyway, and the recorder and Hercules are kind of lounging around there. So a short while later, we assembled in their grand dining hall, and before long, Hercules and the others had consumed what I calculated to be a near-toxic level of food and drink.
By Zeus's beard! In all my travels, the Prince of Power hath not experienced a more mirthful society than yours, Magistrate Peel.
If you're saying we know how to party, you bet your moogies. I've been saving this gift for last, Prince. This small vial contains the most potent liquor in the known universe. One drop of this can turn a black hole inside out. It takes us 10 years to distill just enough to fill one small flask. It is a rare and priceless substance, but enough to last a man a lifetime.
Several lifetimes, I hope, says Hercules. Thou hast my gratitude, Peel. I shall cherish thy gift. And he takes the flask and he tucks it in his belt. I shall keep it in my belt for safekeeping.
Remember, no more than a drop diluted in water or it'll fry your scrobies off.
Whatever scrobies are. The merriment continued for hours, while unknown to anyone at the time, the festivities were about to be interrupted. And we see a flaming character, flaming figure, looks a little bit like the Human Torch, kind of flying through space, apparently towards the planet of Seagram 7. And we see that it's Nova. Now, not Nova from the Nova Corps, the Marvel superhero. It's Nova, the female Nova, who was a Fantastic Four character. It was the Human Torch's girlfriend who became the Herald of Galactus. Ah, so there's where Galactus comes in. We see her flying through space, flying through stars, and you know, destroying wreckage of the ships that tried to destroy Seagram 7. And eventually she comes down and lands on the planet. And we get a little bit of narration for this. Through the heart of a blazing sun, this being came, passing through the wreckage of the Brotherhood ships that still orbited around Seagram 7, melting them as she flew by. The rest was standard operating procedure for a Herald of Galactus. Locate the largest metropolitan center, clear and secure the area, then signal to the mothership that all is in readiness. This Herald was no different than any of Galactus's others, or so I thought at the time. And she goes, snails, yuck! The arrival of the Herald of Galactus, it is fair to say, went totally unnoticed by the participants of the celebration, due to the fact that by that time most were unconscious. And we see that, yeah, indeed, they are unconscious, and it looks like Hercules and the recorder are the only ones left standing. But there's apparently some people not in the party, because somebody comes in and is warning everyone. Those that were still functioning were alerted to the danger by an observer who was outside at the time. And Hercules and the recorder go rushing out. Apparently unscathed by the revelry's effects, Hercules dashed to the rescue of his hosts. He has a habit of doing that. I was to learn later that the Herald was once an Earthwoman called Frankie Ray, that she had voluntarily donated her services to Galactus as his latest Herald. Throughout the known universe, she was feared by all, save one.
Be gone, woman! This planet is under my protection!
Then defend it! Says the Nova. If you have the power.
And with a giant flame burst, he like fires at Hercules and he's all burning and like, strow! Such an attack would have destroyed almost any being, but Hercules is not just any being. And we see that Hercules kind of shrugs off the fire and comes out ready to fight. To the apparent astonishment of the Herald, he emerged, tattered and scorched, and very, very angry. And Hercules picks up a piece of wreckage and destroys something and picks it up and is going to throw it at her.
Allow me to show thee why I am called the Prince of Power, woman. For 'tis power thou wish demonstrated. The Lion of Olympus can certainly oblige.
And he tries to smash her, throws this piece of wreckage at her. And she just kind of melts it. You know, she gets knocked by it and gets knocked back. But yeah, basically she tries to deflect this and gets hit back. The cornerstone struck her with the force of a colliding meteor, sending Herald and Flaming Stone alike raining down upon the city. And some of the snail guys are like, holy blowax, she's falling straight towards the refinery. If she hits that, the whole complex will go kabraoom. And so she hits the refinery and there's this huge explosion that goes kabraoom. And Hercules is kind of coming after her here. And it says here, Hercules stood poised outside the burning carnage as if he knew that she had survived. And of course she has survived. She comes bursting out.
Now you shall know what it means to incur the wrath of a Herald of Galactus.
Have at thee, then. Thy master shall not destroy this planet whilst a single breath remains in the breast of Hercules.
You're Hercules? The Hercules? From Earth?
The same, woman.
Golly, can we go somewhere and talk?
Observation. My information becomes vague at this point. The two of them went back to our lodging place, and what transpired after that, I do not know. That was the last I ever saw of her. In the meantime, Galactus's immense starcraft had just entered into orbit around Seagram 7, in preparation to appease his boundless hunger for the life forces of a world. And we see Galactus's round ship coming into orbit, and we see Galactus through the little window. I was to learn later that Galactus had devoured the Brotherhood's homeworld ages ago. Believing that it was punishment for wrongdoing, the survivors began to leave kidnapped planets as offerings to Galactus on the outer rim of the solar system. Inadvertently, they had deterred Galactus from invading that system, although the consequence was equally unpleasant. Every year, Galactus would return to find a planet waiting to sustain him. Every year, that is, until Hercules defeated his worshippers. It was only then that Galactus turned his hungry eyes toward Seagram 7, the world his herald had located. All that was necessary for him was to place his matter converter upon the surface of the planet, and then the planet's life force would be stripped away to be consumed by Galactus. For hours he waited for his herald to return. Finally, he could tolerate his hunger no longer. Then he acted. And we see Galactus, he's on the ship, and he's got a bunch of, looks like magnifying glasses. There's this giant magnifying glass in the middle of his middle of his laboratory or whatever it is. I guess he burns ants with it. I don't know. What would Galactus need a magnifying glass for? I mean, we'd think that with his godlike powers, he wouldn't need such a thing. We then shift back to the surface, and we have Hercules. And Hercules' costume is looking pretty tattered at this point. I guess that's basically because he was set on fire by Nova. As I stated, that information was obtained later. At the moment Galactus had begun to act, I had just located the son of Zeus exiting from our quarters. Statement, there you are, sir. I was beginning to worry about...
Shh! Be silent, friend recorder, lest thee awaken the maiden who is slumbering within our chambers.
Interrogative? I'm not sure I understand. Has the danger passed?
Let it simply be said the fire is out for the nonce.
I was just about to feel relieved when... there's a big rumble, like a big earthquake. Interrogative, what was that?
I do not know. Let us hasten outside and investigate.
And they go outside, and we see there's like this big tall building, and there's a giant machine assembling itself at the top. And we've seen this before in old Fantastic Four comics. And Galactus kind of goes to the high point of a city and assembles his little life siphon or whatever it's called. What we saw was the colossal energy converter of Galactus forming out of the very molecules of the air itself. I informed Hercules that the device was self-generating and could not be destroyed. His reply was predictable.
Then, friend recorder, we must take the fight to Galactus.
Statement, I was afraid you would say that. And we then shift to the two of them flying towards Galactus's world ship, and they are, of course, on the chariot. And Hercules has changed his costume, and this is the costume that we saw earlier, the very short skirt. It's like a bright blue toga, but it's rather skimpy. I mean, it's much skimpier than anything we've seen him in before. So after a few preparations, like new attire for Hercules, we departed from the planet in the Olympian somewhat unusual means of transportation to rendezvous with the massive craft of the World Destroyer. It was obvious that he considered Hercules no threat. The huge iris door of the massive vessel opened without resistance. I found it a fascinating opportunity to study the technology of the ship.
Stay close, recorder. There may be danger afoot.
Statement, don't worry, sir. I'll keep both sensors open and be careful. And after he says careful, he turns around and rams right into Galactus's foot. And Galactus is here looking significantly less giant than he normally does.
Galactus bids you welcome, Olympian. I trust you are the reason my herald is tardy.
Aye, Galactus. 'Tis not the first time the fates have crossed our paths. Yonder planet is under the protection of Hercules. Galactus must do what he must to survive. If this planet must die so I may live, so be it. Nay, as an immortal, I command thee to depart or face the anger of the son of Zeus. Impudent flea, Galactus would not even be here if you had not interfered with my followers. It was your meddling that brought me to this system. I allow you to converse with me out of respect for a fellow immortal,
Be advised to curb your tongue, lest you incur my wrath as well. Thou hast left me little choice, Galactus, save have at thee!
And Hercules lunges forward, smacks Galactus in the middle of the chest with a giant kawham.
You dare strike Galactus!
And then we get a Saturday morning cartoon spread for CBS, which we won't talk about. I would say it has been covered rather in depth on other podcasts. So Galactus is really not happy about this Hercules leaping forward him thing. And we get the scene that we saw on the cover, basically. We see Galactus's I-beam strike out at Hercules. And it changes him, I guess, sort of changing him into ooze here. And Galactus is saying,
I am power incarnate, puny god. With a mere thought, Galactus can strip the flesh from your bones.
And the I-beams change him into a skeleton.
Or reduce you into protoplasmic slime.
And the I-beams do that.
You dare lay hands on one who can recreate you with but a passing whim.
And he's been recreated back to what he was.
Leave or stay, it does not matter, but seek not to interfere with the will of Galactus, Olympian.
He turned and went back to his task of overseeing the destruction of Seagram 7. Hercules just sat there for hours doing something I've never seen him do before. He was thinking. And then we see the recorder arrive on the scene, and Galactus is standing in the window, looking down on the planet. Interrogative, sir. Perhaps we could just depart from the system before we get into more trouble.
Nay, friend recorder, my duty remains clear. At last I am beginning to see the wisdom in Zeus's punishment. Mine own arrogance hath caused the Lion of Olympus to be humbled. My father knew I would encounter beings whose power would dwarf my own, who I could not defeat by force of arms.
Observation. It will be a great loss to the culture of the galaxy when Seagram 7 perishes. Their techniques for distilling liquors will be lost for all time.
Aye, they be true masters at making every sort of liquor. By the thunder of Zeus, it may work.
So Hercules has got an idea.
Recorder, come closer and listen with care, lest a world shall die. The Prince of Power hath a plan.
And we see Hercules pulling a small flask out of his belt. I wonder what that is. Following my instructions, I placed myself in an isolated spot where I could observe the two immortals without detection. I did not know at the time what Hercules planned to do. And Hercules approaches Galactus.
Hail, mighty Galactus, devourer of worlds! Hercules salutes the besting of the son of Zeus. Wouldst thou care to join me in drink?
And Galactus kind of... he actually kind of falls for it.
So you have learned proper respect. It is not yet time to activate the matter converter. So, very well, I shall grant you your request, if only to reward your newfound manners. I thank thee, omnipotent one. I see that.
And all of a sudden there's this giant buzzing sound, and Galactus is turned around distracted. This, of course, is part of Hercules' plan. As per instructions, at that moment I was to tamper with Galactus' converter control, distracting him long enough for Hercules to empty the contents of his vial into Galactus' drink. And you see a plunk as Hercules pours all the Seagram 7 booze in there.
It seems your recorder was not content merely to observe. I shall see to it that it maintains only its primary function.
And Galactus waves his hand and freezes the recorder in a block of... I don't think it's ice, so crystal or whatever. So anyway, the recorder is trapped in some sort of solid. Things like that always seem to happen to me when I exceed my programming.
So be it, says Hercules. I drink to thee, Galactus, the scourge of galaxies and conqueror of the son of Zeus. So be it, says Galactus,
and he takes a drink out of his goblet. And Hercules is pleased by this and says here, a curious smile crossed the face of Hercules, as if to say he had won.
Very good, Olympian. I accept your tribute, says Galactus. Is it warm in here?
It shall be a great deal warmer in the next few minutes, base villain. For all thy great power, thou hast fallen prey to the simplest of deceptions. I laced thy drink with the most powerful intoxicant in the known universe. The amount I gave thee could have made the thunderbolts of Zeus go limp. Within moments thou shalt be unconscious, and yonder planet below shall be spared.
And we see something happening here, which I don't think we've ever seen before. Galactus is actually taking off his helmet.
So, little god, it would appear you have won. But in truth, appearances can be deceiving. And
we have Galactus taking off his helmet. And it's clear that they looked at the origin of Galactus, that, you know, remember back in the old Thor issue. But it doesn't really look like that. I mean, it looks significantly different, actually, in a lot of ways. And Galactus without his helmet is just sort of this dude. And he's got black hair with a sort of weird pattern in it. And he's got a widow's peak. And he's got this funky little beard thing. It looks like Scott Cole's beard, actually. A little bit. Anyway.
What? I do not understand, says Hercules. And
Galactus is taking his helmet off and placed it on the table.
Am I not Galactus the All-Knowing? Do you not know that 1,000 such potions would not faze me? I acted out your charade because, frankly, I find you quite amusing, buffoon. Ha 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 ha.
The sound I then recorded was one that few beings have ever heard, the laughter of Galactus.
My thanks, little god. For the first time in memory, someone has made Galactus forget his hunger. I am grateful. A multitude of worlds await the taking. For your efforts, I shall spare this one.
And he waves his hand and he teleports the recorder and Hercules back to the planet. And his ship wobbles off through the galaxy. It's kind of going in a kind of zigzaggy path out of I guess that means that Galactus is drunk. We recombine back on the surface of Seagram 7, narrates the recorder.
They're back. What happens? Is one of the snails. Are we safe?
We have triumphed, methinks, says Hercules.
Interrogative. Could you possibly see fit to extricate me from this thing? And Hercules picks up the crystal or whatever it is and smashes it with a kareesh.
Fear not, recorder. The Lion of Olympus shall set thee free.
And it sets him free.
Thou hast done well this day, my friend. Verily, we have cause to celebrate.
And you hear a voice.
I think not, Hercules.
Eh?
And one of the snails is like,
I'm sorry, but these gentlemen say they've been looking for you.
And Hercules turns around and there's two members of the colonizers of Rigel standing there in front of him.
Hercules, in the name of the High Commissioner of Rigel, I bid you take heed. You have single-handedly accumulated the largest recorder charge account in the history of the Rigelian Empire. Thus, Sub-Commissioner Ronhan has commanded us to confiscate the recorder, or what's left of him, until your debt is paid.
Hercules is aghast. He's like, surely you jest!
Thou mean to separate us after all that we've been through together?
I'm sorry, but we have our orders.
And the snail people kind of approach the colonizers here.
Now, wait a minute, Domehead. Hercules has twice saved our planet. We are indebted to him in a way we can never truly repay. Yeah, we'll cover his debt to the Empire. Just leave him be, okay? Very well. But the recorder unit will have to come with us until we have cleared the matter with the sub-commissioner.
So the recorder and Hercules need to say farewell. Statement, sir, I don't want to go back. Life is the very dull back with the fleet. A lot less dangerous, but dull.
I am touched by thy loyalty, recorder. Rest assured, as soon as circumstance permits, Hercules shall plead thy case with thy superiors. The Prince of Power hath been proud to call thee friend. Fare thee well. Our paths shall soon cross again. So swears the son of Zeus.
Statement, goodbye, sir. That was the last I ever saw of Hercules. I assume he is now living on Seagram 7, basking in the admiration of his diminutive admirers. Now I will be deactivated until such time as I receive a new program assignment. Speculation. Perhaps one day I shall cross the path of Hercules again. Perhaps. And that seems to be the end of the story. And we have an editor's note here.
Aw, come on, Bob. You're not supposed to end the series on a downer, are you? I want to know what happened to Herc.
And so we get a epilogue. And we see Hercules, and he's on Seagram 7, and he's waving off the Rigelian ship is taking the recorder away. And he says,
A safe journey, my metallic friend.
thou shalt be sorely missed. After lo, these many months since my exile, I am truly alone. Without Recorder to navigate for me, I seem destined to roam with no direction, purpose, or home. I wonder what I do next.
And a voice comes from behind him.
Would you care for a suggestion, Handsome? It seems that Galactus has given me some time off. Got any ideas on how I should use it? And of course it is Nova, Frankie Ray.
Aye, beautiful one. But art thou not fearful that the World Devourer shall be angered by thy absence?
Nah, Galactus is really a pussycat underneath all that omnipotent stuff. Besides, at light speed I'll catch up with him in no time.
Hast thou ever seen the antler dance ritual of Sirius IV?
And the two of them go wandering off. Just a note here, Hercules. Johnny Storm was there first. And that is Hercules, Prince of Power number 4. And, of course, we have wrapped up the series. And obviously, we're going to have a few comments about it. But first, a message for one of our friends.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved.
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
And we're back. So, of course, a few comments as always. Being the last part of this Bob Layton 4-part Hercules miniseries, it's easy to see, at least as far as I'm concerned, it's easy to see why this was not picked up for a full-time series. I think that the premise, as presented, is a little bit limited. And the reason I say that is because if you look at these four issues, each issue is essentially the same thing. And if you were to create a series in the same vein as this Hercules mini, I think it would get old really fast. I think that people would get tired of the same gimmick, this futuristic comedy sci-fi sort of thing that Bob Layton has done here. And that is not to say that this first Hercules mini is bad. It's not bad. It's actually damn good. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a prime Marvel comic of 1982. But I don't really think this would have worked as an ongoing series. Now, as you all know, it didn't turn into a series. We have another mini based on the same idea. I think it was one mini. There may have been two minis. And then, of course, you have, you know, the Incredible Hulk, which I think is an entirely different animal than this. So I'm not surprised that it didn't get picked up. Now, one of the things that kind of tipped me off a little bit as to, you know, this wouldn't be happening is that we have these artists on every issue, except for the first one. The first one, obviously, Bob Layton had everything to do with. He did all of it, and it looks great. It sounds great. But every issue since then, we've had a guest artist of some kind. In this case, it was De La Rosa, and they are just there to help, you know, pick up the slack. And then we have, obviously, Layton is drawing the Hercules and Recorder characters, and other things suffer. That happens in this issue as well. And we have some pages that are really jarring out of this issue that don't match the rest. And the most obvious is the few pages where Nova is introduced into the issue. The art style is completely different. It doesn't look anything like Bob Layton. It's an entirely different style altogether. And then, of course, we kind of snap back in. I don't know if this was a response to an editorial edict or whatever, but here we have this introduction of Nova. It looks completely different than the rest of the book. The character of Nova, interestingly enough, is not treated like the Nova that we saw in Fantastic Four. The Nova that we saw in Fantastic Four was transformed by Galactus into this cosmic being, this gold, fiery woman. And we don't see Nova in that form in this book, interestingly enough.
in this book, she actually is wearing her John Byrne costume that she wore in Fantastic Four before she became Galactus's herald. So there's an inconsistency here as far as continuity goes, and I believe that this could not have happened as far as the Marvel continuity went, you know, in the later 80s and earlier 90s. I believe they killed off the Nova character, though I could be wrong about that. For all I know, she's back. I mean, you know, death is a momentary inconvenience in the Marvel Universe anyway. But, you know, this character didn't stay Galactus's herald very long. You know, another character came in and replaced her. She became one of the ex-heralds, and I think they formed their own team or something anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's the 90s for you. I mean, everybody was going off and forming their own team. But, you know, by and large, you know, I really like this miniseries. I think that it's a fun read. And I think the next miniseries, which was a few years later, in some ways is even better. I think that it was a refining of that character idea into one that was perhaps more feasible as an ongoing series. But of course, that never happened either. But anyway, so that is Hercules, Prince of Power. So I really hope that you guys enjoyed that. So before I go, I just have an announcement to make here, and I've been kind of dreading this announcement for the entire show. As you know, I've taken a great deal of satisfaction, a great deal of pleasure in bringing to you the adventures of Thor and the adventures of Hercules and all the associated characters, and it has truly been one of these experiences that I cannot express my gratitude enough that people have actually wanted to listen to. But there's another character that's really close to my heart, and I feel that now might be the time to break off from what I'm doing here at Radio Free Asgard, and I'm going to go ahead and pursue this dream that I've had to pursue this other character, do some podcasting. And to that end, this is the last episode for now of Radio Free Asgard. And I say that with a great deal of regret, because obviously Thor and all the Asgardian mythos are very, very special to me. But I think that this character is something even more special and something I'm really looking forward to pursuing. As you know, I mean, I have certain characters who are my favorites. Thor, obviously, is very high up there on the list. The Fantastic Four is very high up there on the list. You know, the Legion of Superheroes is also very high up there on the list. Doctor Strange. There's a lot of characters that really grab me, but none grab me quite so much as the character which I'm going to be starting a new podcast for. And in fact, I'm going to be starting this new podcast next week, and it'll be next Wednesday. And I don't remember the date. Is that the 2nd? I'm not sure. Is it the 2nd or the 1st? I'm not really sure which, but next week will be the first episode of a brand new podcast, and I hope that you'll enjoy it. I mean, there's a character that really, I think, has a lot of depth, and it's one of these series that really makes you think about your place in the world and your mortality and really the actions that you take in your life. And I think that there's a little bit more of an intellectual heft there that you don't always see in comics. And so it's a challenge to me, and it's a challenge that I'm greatly looking forward to. So with that in mind, I just want to say that I hope you follow along. Don't be discouraged by the ending of this show. And I hope that you'll come join me next week for the new show. And it is known as the Casper Cast. So with that, it is, good night. Good luck. Fare thee well for now. And I guess we'll see you next time, whenever that is. So everybody take care, and I hope to speak to you soon. And this is Tom Harris from Chicago, Illinois, signing off here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group,
We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.